when Dan leads the worship. I have to admit, when I was at a core team meeting and Vaughn first asked me to preach today, and then he said, "Diane, I want you to preach on healing," I think my mouth dropped open and I was like, "Oh God, no." You know, it's such a big responsibility to preach on healing. It's like God has no formula for me to tell you how it works. All I know is it's an intimacy with Christ that gets us to that point. It doesn't always happen when we pray for healings. I've seen it myself, but on the other hand, I have seen so many miracles in my life of healings with my father-in-law, given 2 months to live from cancer. He lived 22 years past that. My sister-in-law in a car accident broke every bone in her body and had a third vertical, sort of, you know, whatever it is, in her back of her neck, broken, and God sovereignly healed it. We have x-rays to prove the healing. I've been healed of diabetes. I've been healed. I was told I had a brain tumor. When they redid the x-rays, the MRIs, it wasn't there. I've seen God's miraculous hand, and I know it's there for the taking. It's just that we have not tapped into it like we should. God has a purpose, though, for things in our lives. And sometimes when I've seen him not heal somebody, later on, I see why God did something like that. I couldn't have children, and for years I was devastated and depressed, and all I wanted to do was get married and be a mommy, and it wasn't happening. And I watched my friends having baby after baby, and it was devastating, and it was like, "Lord, don't you love me enough?" You know, I felt like he was ignoring me, and I had to earn it, and I just felt so out of it, like, "God, don't you love me? Why isn't it happening for me when it's happening for everybody else?" And later on down the road, we adopted 2 sons, and they're wonderful. And we had prayed that they were bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and they became that. People are surprised when they hear that they're adopted, and their baby pictures and their toddler pictures, they look like brothers, even though biologically they're not, but spiritually they are. And God did a miracle, and I look back, and because I had had diabetes and like that, the Lord showed me, "Diane, you would have not had good pregnancies because of the diabetes and high blood pressure and things." And I believe God showed me that he saved my life by doing it that way. So we never know God's hand when he moves on things. We just need to trust him and to move and to just be encouraged in the things that he wants to do in our lives. Even to get up here and preach on healing today, I was like, "Lord, am I worthy to do this?" I was feeling, you know, I struggle with things too. You know, we all struggle with things in our lives that we need healed. I believe probably, I would say 80% of the people in this room probably need a healing from something right now, including myself. But I read something in Galatians 4, 13 to 14 once that really, oh, there goes one note. That's okay. I don't need it. And it said, "As you know," this was Paul speaking. He says, "As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself." When I read that, it was like Paul had an illness the first time that he preached. But he pressed on. And God is looking for a people who are pressing on no matter what you're going through. I used to weigh 350 pounds, which is something I don't like to talk about. But even in those days, I would press on, even though I felt awful. It was hard to move. I persevered, though. I was at that time, and still I'm president of a GLOW in Central New York area. It's a huge territory. But I decided that I wasn't going to give on it up. And even though I didn't feel well, I pressed on and I kept going. And now I see the reward from God. He poured out a healing upon me. My blood sugar has been normal for the last 6 years. I have no more high blood pressure. I take only one medication. It's something minor, you know, and God has done a miraculous healing. When I was shooting up insulin 3 times a day and still having a blood sugar of over 300, God does miracles when we rest in him and we trust him for things. And even if we're struggling with something, guess what? God still wants you praying for other people. He wants you to reach out to other people, because when you reach out to other people, guess what? The blessing pours back on you too. I believe that God is doing something in this particular church. It's only God that, you know, a couple years ago we were down to like 35 people, and now we're almost 200 people. God is doing something in this church. And he's calling you here because he wants you prepared to do something. He wants you to be prepared to go forth and do what God has called. And I believe a great happening is going to be happening in this church to spread out to other places. And not that it's not happening in other churches in the valley, it is. But God has us to blend here together for a purpose, and he wants us to work together. He wants us to move forward. And you know what? There's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's no excuse if you have a headache, a backache, a footache. There's no excuse if you're tired. I have to tell you, the last 2 weeks between work and Christmas and everything, I've been exhausted. I've been sleeping on the couch, taking naps, but you know what? You get up and you press on. You press on no matter what you're going through. A couple months ago, God was speaking to me. My husband and I preach in prisons. In fact, today, I have to run out the minute we get done here to go to Shawangunk, and then we'll go out for dinner, and then we're going to Downstate tonight. Got to do 3 times today, but you know what? God is my stamina. God is my strength. He's my stronghold. He's the one who sets me free to do the things that he's called me to do, and I can trust in him. And he told me a few months ago when I was preparing to, every time I look at my notes, I echo, that he wanted to do a message in the prison for some of the men. And when I was praying about this today, and God, and Vaughn had said to me, pray, you know, preach on healing, I was like, Lord, I don't know how to preach on healing. And it reminded me of a message that the Lord gave me to the prisoners a few months ago on CPR. And I heard the Lord say, I want to do CPR on the people of Vineyard this day. I want to do cardiopulmonary resuscitation upon the people in this place because they have a heart for things of ministry in this place. I see the ministries grow. The music ministry is phenomenal. I mean, it's growing, it's doubled, it's tripled. Who knows? It's going to quadruple and go on. And I've seen other ministries in the church grow. But the thing that I see lacking in the church is prayer. The prayer ministry is, for years it was me and Patty, and then it was me and Patty and Stacy, and then the other Stacy and Robert and Fred, and you know what? It stopped there, but you know what? We're not giving up. And people, you have to know that if you're not a people of prayer, we're not going to see the mountains moved in this place. And God wants to do some mountain moving in this place. When I prayed for a name for our prayer group, because every group needs a name, God immediately said to me, mountain movers. He wants us to move mountains in this place, in our own lives, and in the Hudson Valley and beyond. And look how mountains are being moved in Africa through us with Overland Missions. God is moving mountains, but you know what? Right here in this place, he wants to start right now, and he wants to do CPR in this place. He wants us to be a people of increase. He wants us in the increase mode. He wants us to increase our dreams, increase the visions, increase prophesying. Every single one of you in this room can prophesy if you'd ask God, Lord, I want to prophesy, show me how to do it. Every single one of you could prophesy. Every one of you can have dreams and visions. I know that right now I'm in that age where, you know, I can do both because I'm right in the middle, you know, and it's like God wants us to have dreams and visions and to prophesy, to lay hands on the sick. He wants us to preach the good news. He wants us to be in increase mode in this place, to see an increase and to believe that it's going to happen, that it's going to increase in our individual lives and in our church body and break beyond these walls. When we first signed on the dotted line for this building, I said to Vaughn, I said, you know what, we're not going to be in that building long. It was like, I don't know if God's going to raise the roof and put a second story on or if he's going to do something else, but I didn't feel like we were going to be in this building long because he's about to break through the walls and he's going to bring in the people because we're going to have something here that the light is going to shine like a beacon over this place and people will be attracted and want to know what's happening. And I know that in my heart. And God is saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, because we are going to be a people of increase mode. In September, you know, I was with a friend of mine who's down in a glow with me, and Central New York is my territory, and it's so huge that it's overwhelming. I don't get to part of my territory lots of times. It's out to Elmira and Corning and up to Watertown and this whole area, Binghamton, Syracuse, and it's huge, and I never get there very often. And my friend and I wanted to go hear Chuck Pierce in Syracuse in September, so we thought, let us take a little road trip and drive through some of my territory. And we decided to take stakes and stake the land for God. And we took some stakes that her husband made. He chiseled them out of wood. They were about that big. And we prayed about what scripture to put on it. And the Lord led us to Joel 2, which happens to also be Acts 2, where it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. I will show signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. And it continues on, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we wrote that on every stake. And we went to Syracuse. We went up to Watertown. We went over to Oswego, where I went to college. And we were staking the territory with this scripture. And that night, we ended back up in Syracuse. And Chuck Pierce started to preach. And this was in September. And that's when the Jewish New Year starts in the 2008. And the year of new beginnings. Eight is new beginnings. And he said, this is going to be a year of Joel 2, where I will pour out my spirit on all men and women. And they will prophesy and see visions. And signs and wonders will happen. And I thought, what a confirmation that God is doing. And he's doing it here in this place. And he's called us to do this. God has a call on every one of our lives. He's brought us together here for a purpose, and we need to embrace that fact. You need to embrace it, not just hear it today with your ears and say, okay, that sounded great, but we need to embrace it into our hearts, embrace it into every fiber of our being, that God wants to do something in our lives and in this church and in the Hudson Valley. My friends and I have been praying for the Hudson Valley for years. I've been in a glow over 20 years, and in 20 years ago, we were praying that the pastors would get along in this area, that there'd be no more competition, that they would get together and love each other and encourage each other. Well, 20 years later, it's happening. On Thursday mornings, the pastors meet, they encourage one another, they want to see everyone's church grow, they just encourage each other, and it's been 20 years of praying, but look, it came to pass, and I get so excited about the things that are happening. My friend Patty yesterday asked me about today, and she goes, are you nervous or excited? And I said, neither one, and later on, I thought about it, because I'm not nervous, because I trust my God. I trust that he gives me the words to speak. I trust him with all my heart and my fiber and my being. And then I thought, well, not excited. How can you not get excited about the word of God? And just because I'm speaking it, I don't care that I'm speaking it. It's the word of God coming forth, and we need to get a passion and a zeal for the word of God. And God is saying it's a time to just not read it. Vaughn has challenged us to read this word through, to read it through and read it through and read it through. But it's also a time to get passionate about it. Get the fire for the word. Get it in there and start speaking it out, because things are going to happen. We need to make a demand upon the anointing. We need to make it. When you invite Jesus into your heart, and I believe that probably 99.9% of you in this room have Jesus in their heart. But you know, when you have Jesus there, you have an anointing. But do you tap into it? Do you embrace it? Do you just make a demand upon it and take boldness and step forth and say, yes, Lord, I know you're in me and I know things will happen. It's embracing it and making a demand upon the anointing, because the anointing breaks the yoke. And I know many of us need yokes broken in our lives. We need to do that. God told me, though, we're not quite there yet. We've been doing the doggy paddle for a little while now. The messages on faith have been tremendous that Vaughn has been doing. They've been tremendous. I've never been so excited about faith in my life. But you know what? It's time to put it into practice. It's time to have the CPR today and go from flatliners to go to passionate, on fire people for God, moving with the faith that God has given us. God is preparing us as an army to go forth for the kingdom of God. You need to allow your expectations to arise. If your expectations aren't arising for God, guess what? You're going to be a flatliner. And you ever see that on TV when someone's flatlining? It's gone. It's out, you know. And I don't want to be there. I want to see that rise and go forth and go to that higher place with God. God wants to break your chains away today. He wants you to shake off everything that's been holding you back. A lot of times to inmates, I'll say, you guys really know what it feels like to have chains and shackles on. Because when they get arrested and they're carted around in the paddy wagon and Wendy and I got to ride in the paddy wagon once. She didn't like it, but I thought it was cool. You know, it was because we got lost. The very first time I ever went to a prison, Wendy and I went because our husbands didn't show up for various reasons. And what happened was we got lost, so we ended up in one building, and they were like, oh, it's in another building across the way. And they go, don't worry, we'll drive you. So we get in the back. It was a van, but it had the you know, the steel there and the grates, and on the floor were the shackles, and Wendy's sitting there like holding my arm. You know, but it was kind of neat. But the guys know what real shackles feel like. They're heavy. You can't move. You are stuck in one place, and you have no freedom. But God has the key to unlock the shackles. He has the key to let you go, to move forth in Him, and to know that you can do forth anything that He calls you to do according to His word and His will. You know, when self gets in the way, guess what? Flatlines. But when we say, yes, Lord, and let Him be be the power in the vessel, then it happens. It really does. I've seen it happen. You know what, too? God was showing me that our negative confessions have to cease. Our negative words from our mouth have to cease. I grew up in a home, and I won't let my mom hear this tape, but my parents were the biggest hypochondriacs you've ever seen in your life. If you sneezed once, you were told you have a cold, you're going to have pneumonia, you were going to have this or that, you were getting the flu. And you know what? I always got it. I was always sick. I was always sick on my birthday, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, always sick with colds and flu and all sorts of things. And a few years ago, I thought, you know what? I'm tired of being sick on Christmas. It's not going to happen this year. And I started proclaiming with my mouth, I'm not going to be sick on Christmas. And I wasn't. And I started to say to people, I don't catch things anymore. And one of the inmates said to me once, oh, I have a cold, don't shake my hand. And I said, you know what, I don't catch things anymore. And, you know, it was like, I've been saying it enough over the last few years that I really believe it now. I believe it. Once in a while something will start to come on, and I'll say, Lord, I feel the symptoms. Lord, I just ask that you would remove these symptoms in Jesus' name. And I've never had a cold longer than a day in probably about 4 or 5 years now. And I want to say that today. And even if I speak it forth and it tries to come on me tomorrow, you know what? It's the enemy just trying to prove that the word wasn't true. But I know in my heart, I've said it enough times, I don't catch anything anymore. And sometimes, you know, it just doesn't happen. It's not a magic formula, but it's faith walking forth with God. It's trusting God. And I've seen it happen now, and I have not been sick that often. And it's not that I don't get sick once in a while, because I do. We all do. But you know what? We have the blood of Jesus to overcome. We have the blood of Jesus to move forth. God wants to start with our hearts first in the CPR, the cardio, the heart. In Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and I give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. When you allow Jesus into your heart, he's there. And he gives you that desire to follow his decrees. Whenever you start to do something that you know is not of the Lord, don't you hear it right in your head right away? You know that's not of me. But then we have a choice. We have a choice whether we're going to do that thing that we know is not of God or to follow the ways of God. And that's what it is. It's a choice walking because Jesus is there. He is there. But are we tapping into it? Are we tapping into his power and knowing that he's moving in our lives? A few years ago when I did get pneumonia at Christmas time, and well, actually, it's a few years ago. My boys were little. They're 25 and 22 now, and they had to be 1 and 4 at the time. And we were living in Virginia Beach, and we came up here at Christmas to visit our families, and we were in Binghamton. And I've been hacking my brains out, coughing so bad, and couldn't sleep, exhausted. And my mom decided I better go to the ER, and we went over there. And the doctor looked at me, and he goes, you've had congestive heart failure. And you know what? I got mad, and I looked at him, and I said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You know, I didn't want to receive that. And later on, I found out I did have pneumonia. But, you know, God just wants us to get to a point where we trust him in all things in our lives. And that was a time period where he was starting to wake me up to things. We had gone to we were in Virginia Beach at that time when I was getting massive headaches. And the doctor that we went to said, you have a brain tumor. And I went to everybody in CBN. Rich was going to Regent University down there for his master's in theology. And all the people, we lived in campus housing, were praying for me. And I went for the CAT scan, and there was no brain tumor on the second show there. And, you know, God is faithful. He is able. But we need to have our hearts right with him and trust him in all the things that we go through. You know, when I was laying in that CAT scan, all I could do was have the word in my heart. I was singing praises to God in my heart. I was singing a song that's from the Old Testament, from Miriam, where, you know, I can't remember the words of it right now, but I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I kept singing that over and over and over in my head because I wanted that thrown into the sea. And you can use, you know, when you're in a tough situation, sometimes if you can't speak it, think the praises of God. Sing the praises of God in your head, and it's coming from your heart. God wants our hearts to just move forward. You know, we've heard so many times that this area is an area of complacency, apathy, and pessimism. Well, you know what? If you have that new heart of God, you've got to lay that down and let your heart become one of compassion, passion, zeal, love, and boldness. We're going to see so many things happen when your heart is bold, when you pour forth the love. You know, we go to the prisons, probably Rich and I go, you know, several times a month, and the men can't believe how much we love them. You know, it takes them a while to realize, hey, these guys love us. You know, and you can only love them with the love of Christ. If you look at them with your physical eyes, you're going to go, oh, you know, like, woo. And the thing is, you know, okay, some are cute and some aren't, but, you know, it's like, I don't look at any of them that way, but it's like, you know, some of them are kind of scary looking. One guy, you know, his nickname is Shrek, and boy, it looks like Shrek. And, you know, it's like, but, you know, it's like, and I don't want him to hear the tape. He's going to come see us when he gets out. You know, I love this guy, and I love them all because they're creations of Christ Jesus, and they all have their stories why they're in there. And, you know, I've seen in the prisons that some is mental illness, some is drug. It's mostly drugs. Man, we got to pray against the drug culture. Some of these young men, they're in their teens, got to get caught up in the drugs, and then they have to steal and do whatever to get it. And that's been the biggest culprit that I see. But you know what? God is more than faithful. And I've seen so many miraculous things happen in the prisons that I want to keep on going and going. And I've even applied for a job there, and if it's God's will, then I'll work there. But I trust God. I'm not afraid going in there. But one time, a Christian corrections officer said to me, Diane, though, you need to be alert. And he was right. You do need to be alert. God, out here, we need to be alert because the devil wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy. But God wants to give us life and life abundant. And so be alert on the traps of the enemy. There was a time in my life where I was kept stepping in these stupid foxholes. And I kept tripping up. And my dear friend Patty said, you know what? You're stepping in foxholes. The enemy's putting little holes out there, and you're stepping in them. So I asked the Lord to start showing me the foxholes, and he did. And I'd start to put my foot, and I'd hear, that's a foxhole. Don't step there. You know, and I did, and I backed up, and I knew God protected me. You got to be alert to the things in your life. God will protect you and show you these things. To get that heart right, it's by putting the word of God in there. Romans 10:8 says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. We can't let it sit dormant there. Vaughn used that same scripture in a message a few weeks ago, that it's in our heart. It's in our mouth. We have Christ Jesus. How many of you have Christ Jesus in your hearts? Amen? He's there. He's there. Don't let him lie dormant there. Let him come alive in your hearts. Let him come alive. And it comes by feeding the word of God in. By feeding the word of God and then proclaiming it with faith. Speaking it out with faith. It's available for you. One of the things that the Lord showed me as I was praying about this is I've heard Vaughn say this, and I've actually heard the Lord say it myself to me, and I know others have said it. I've been with him in other places because he was my GLOW advisor for a few years, and I've seen him prophesied over a few times. And he's been told he's a voice for the Hudson Valley. And I know he's a voice for the Hudson Valley. And he's a voice in this place. But the Lord was showing me this week was the fact that, guess what? What if Vaughn is gone for a month in Africa? What if he's, you know, decided to go to Israel for 3 weeks? We have no voice here? Guess what? We are the voice of God too. Every single one of us have a voice for God, but it's a choice to use it. It's a choice to be a voice of God. I've been proclaiming for a while, I am a voice of God too. That's how I hear from him. It's open communication. I'm listening. I have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And then you speak it out because I know I'm a voice of God too. And you've got to get to that point in your lives that you know that you're a voice for the Lord too, because you've been called to speak forth the word of God to people, even if it's in the grocery store, even if it's in the doctor's office. I've had more conversations with people when I go, you know, to the doctor sometimes, just encouraging other people. I've witnessed to my doctor lots of times, especially in years past. I don't go as much as I used to, you know, but God wants us to be a proclaiming voice. In Ezekiel 36, I'm going to turn there, the whole chapter, actually, the whole beginning of the chapter, is a prophesying to the mountains of Israel. And in the beginning, he's saying, Son of man, prophesy to the mountains. And I'm going to say the mountains of Hudson Valley. And say, O mountains of Hudson Valley, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The enemy said of you, aha. See, the enemy is saying to us, aha, I've got you. And he says, the ancient heights have become our possession. Well, look at the mountains surrounding the Hudson Valley. They've been taken by the Buddhists, by the different cults in the area. There's witches' covens. There's things all over the mountains in the area of the Hudson Valley. And the enemy's saying, aha, I've taken possession of the mountains. But if you go on and go down and skip down to verse 8, it says, God wants you to start prophesying and speaking forth. He says, but you, O mountains of the Hudson Valley, you will produce branches and fruit for my people of the Hudson Valley, for they will soon come. I'm concerned for you and look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I will multiply the number of people upon you. Even the whole house of the Hudson Valley, the towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. God wants to rebuild the ruins in the Hudson Valley. He says, I will increase the number of men and animals upon you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. God wants us to take this scripture and to speak it as a prophecy over the Hudson Valley, over our families, over our children, over our finances, over our jobs, to prophesy the things of the Lord, that they will be fruitful and multiply, that they will grow and be rebuilt, to speak it forth with our mouths. Vaughn taught me this lesson in Jamaica. We went on a missions trip to Jamaica 5 or 6 years ago, and he said to me, Diane, start speaking forth your prayers and prophecy. Speak forth believing that people will be healed, and they will. I don't see Diane DeSico here today, but her sister Kathy, we found out that she had had cancer, and I heard it through the prayer chain, and the Lord told me, Diane, on that Sunday, go to her and pray for her because I'm going to heal her. I heard it so clearly, and so when Vaughn had prayer time, I knew whether he called me up or not, I was going because I heard the word of the Lord for that woman. And he did call me up, and I beelined right for her. And I said, I was coming to you anyways because the Lord told me yesterday that he wanted me to come pray for you because he's going to heal you. We laid hands on her, and we prayed. And she went to the doctor, and he decided to do no treatments. She was healed in Jesus' name. And that's what it is. It's hearing the word of the Lord and trusting that God is moving in our lives, to speaking forth to the problem, to speaking forth to the mountains. In Jamaica, we went up, we were in Mandeville, which is pretty high, and we went up into these mountains where the really poor and desolate people, I've never seen such poverty in my life. As we were going higher up into the mountains, Vaughn was supposed to preach at a retreat up there. And I mean, the walls were half built, the floor was dirt, the benches were like wood stumps. It was awful. And that night, the Lord told me, preach this, because there's mountains there. Preach to their mountains. And I shared about the problems with my sons that we've had with the gang and the different things. And the people were just sitting there not saying anything. And I thought, oh boy, Lord, did I hear this, you know, or what, you know? And I was kind of like, okay, well, I'll just preach what you told me to preach. And later on, as I was leaving, I must have had swarms of women grab me and say, oh, my son, pray for my daughter, pray for my son, this and that, and crying and weeping at me. They heard the word of the Lord. And we prayed and we prophesied that their children would come back, that they would be set free from drugs and alcohol, that they would be set free from the things and the chains that are holding them back. But it's speaking forth the word of God, proclaiming. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you speaking? Are you speaking negative? Are you speaking the things of God? Speaking forth the words of God. Jesus is in our heart. He wants us to bring forth that passion. He wants us to come alive. And the next part that he works on is our pulmonary. It's our breathing. He is the air that we breathe. He is the air that we breathe. In Genesis, he breathed into Adam and the Holy Spirit came in. He breathed into the disciples. In Ezekiel 37, he breathed into the dry bones and they came to life. I was at a church probably, I don't know, 7-8 years ago down in Newburgh. And the Lord gave me a word then that he was breathing into the bones of the churches and the pastors in the area, that he was going to breathe new life into the pastors, and that in the past, the bones have been clanging together. You ever see skeletons hanging in like a science lab? And I was having this vision of these bones just clanking, and they were clanking against each other. These pastors were clanking, and people in the churches were fighting, and there was competition and things like that. And God told me he was going to start breathing upon these pastors and leaders in churches and the people of the church, and that finally the flesh would come on and the power of the Holy Spirit would come forth. And I've seen it come to pass over the years, like I said, how God is starting to move in the pastors, how the word is coming forth. And in this place, we are blessed. We are blessed because we get to hear the word of the Lord every Sunday. I know that Vaughn hears from the Lord and hears the word for us for the season that we're in. And you know what? We are looking at it New Year's Eve, and I'm not one to say it's going to change at New Year's, but you know what? Take this and say, new beginning, new time. 2008, 8 is new beginnings. Go forth with the new beginnings, with the word. Let the word just build up in your lives. Ezekiel 37:14 says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. God is saying he wants to do it. He's breathing upon you this day. It says in Ezekiel, he breathes from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He wants to breathe upon you, and he wants to breathe the breath of the Holy Spirit so that you will move to different places like you've never seen before. So that you, when you speak, not only is it from the heart of Jesus, but it's with the power of the Holy Spirit. The breath that's come within you will go forth. Because he doesn't put it in for a reason to stay in there and get stagnant. He puts it in so it will come out. He puts it in us so it will come out and it can be used mightily. Another scripture that I don't want to get into too much, but it's one to think about because I'm kind of an Ezekiel Isaiah fan. And the next one in Ezekiel in 38, it says to prophesy against Gog. And that's G-O-G, not God, but Gog. And it's kind of deep, and I really haven't studied it tremendously, but it says to prophesy against Gog. Set your face against Gog. And I was like, okay, Lord, what is this? And if you read about it a bit, it's a battle in the book of Revelation. And it sounds like it's one of the big ultimate battles that's going to be faced during that time. But as a church, we need to be prophesying against it. And later on when I was studying it, it says it symbolizes evil and opposition to God. And I thought, how interesting. They use the word Gog, which if you slur your speech a little bit, people could think you're saying God. And it's like almost like there's the false God is Gog. And it represents, like I said, evil and opposition to God. We need to be on our faces before the Lord prophesying against Gog, prophesying against evil and opposition to God. Look at our nation, how they're opposing God as a whole. You know, when you think about it, I was reading the Freeman yesterday, the letters to the editor, and I didn't read some of the stories they were talking about, but I guess someone was talking about a letter that about God that went to the Antioch school district, and now they're all up in arms. And so some people were responding to it like, let it alone. Why are Christians being persecuted when the Muslims can say what they want? You know, the other groups can say what they want. Why can't Christians, you know, have freedom of speech also? And then the same thing, a friend of ours, Larry, who does the choir at Kingston High School, there was a letter thanking him for taking his choir and singing, I believe it was with the Mendelssohns or a group there, and they sang "O Holy Night," and it was spectacular, and people stood, and there was a standing ovation in that church that night. And I thought, oh boy, I prayed for Larry because I know him, and I prayed for the Kingston High School choir, because now who's going to come against the fact that they sang "O Holy Night," a Kingston school choir? Is someone going to come against them? Of course, the enemy will want to come against that. But you know what? We have the power to prophesy over that, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And that they had the boldness to sing "O Holy Night" as the Kingston choir. That's a blessing to me. And the people are hungry for it. There was a standing ovation for it. People are really hungry for these things. They don't realize what we've lost. But God says in 2008, in these coming years, he's going to start opening up the eyes, because there are multitudes in the valley of decision. Are you going to be used to help these multitudes in the valley of decision? It's God's will that we work together as a whole, working together as a vast army. That in Ezekiel at the end, it says that when they came together, it says, "I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army." God is calling us to be a vast army for him. We need that CPR. We need the cardio, and we need the pulmonary. And today is the day we need to let him resuscitate us and bring life back. And I'm not saying that we're all walking around lifeless, because I know that you have life, but guess what? I want more. I want more. And I want to go to that higher place with God. I want to take the chain off the door so that I can go through the gate and have more of him. You know, Rich's mom is, you know, getting older, and it's harder for her to get around. She doesn't have Lifeline yet, and she needs it because she's fallen a few times and she can't get up, you know? And it's like, it's not funny, but it's happened to her. And the one time she fell, she fell out of bed. She could reach her phone, but she couldn't get off the floor. So she called her neighbor who had the key, and when the neighbor came over, she couldn't get in because my mother-in-law put the chain on the door. So she had to call the police. They came, and it was like, "Ma'am, do you mind if we break the chain?" And my mother-in-law's like, "What do you think?" You know. But anyways, he had to break the chain so they could get through the door. And God is saying today, let him break the chains in your life so that he can get through the door, so you will have that direct lifeline with him, a direct lifeline with the Lord. Let the chains come off. Let the resuscitation begin in your lives. In 1 Kings 17, if you want to turn to 1 Kings 17, a powerful example of this is in Elijah. He was one of the most powerful men in the Bible. The Lord had given him such a powerful mantle of prayer, of hearing what the Lord has to say and then doing what the Lord said. And even he got scared and was hiding in a cave at one time, but he came out to do the things that God has called him to. He had a mantle that was so coveted by Elisha. Elisha was like, "Elijah, I want to have your mantle." You know, that mantle that Elijah had on was so powerful that others wanted it. And Elijah told Elisha, "Well, if you see me go home, you can have it." So Elisha watched diligently because he wanted that mantle. And God wants to pour forth mantles upon you this day. He wants to pour forth mantles of Elijah, mantles of David, mantles of Deborah and Esther and the people of the Bible. We each have different gifts that God has given us, but he wants us to rise up and receive the mantle of the Lord. In Elijah, in 1 Kings 17, there's seven steps to resuscitation. The first one is courage. In verse 2, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah." The word of the Lord came to him. It came to him. The word is life. And life comes through the breath of God. The breath of God, the word for it is ruach. And ruach actually not only means breath, but it means courage. And so the word of the Lord came to Elijah. It was the word, it was life, and it was courage. And Vaughn has preached on courage. We've had classes on boldness. It's time that we receive it and move out. It's time we get off the couch and say, yes, I want to go forth with that courage as Elijah had, that courage to do the things that God has called. You know, I watch how Vaughn moves with people, and I'd like some of that. But you know what? Liking it and doing it are two things. I needed to start doing it. We need to start doing it and speaking to people. The second thing is cutting away the flesh. If you look at verse 3, it says, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. The word Kereth actually means cutting away. The Lord called Elijah to the Kereth ravine. He said, go there. And Elijah was obedient. He went there. But all that was there for him were the ravens. The ravens were bringing him his food. And ravens represent flesh eaters. How many times you see those ravens in the road eating the roadkill, you know? They were flesh eaters. And what God was telling him, he was like, go to that ravine, cut away the flesh. I'm going to have the flesh eaters bring you what you need for now. It's only bread and water, you know, or meat, you know, it's only that. But that's what I want to do. I want to cut away your flesh. I want you to get ready for the things that I've called. God is saying to be resuscitated, we need to allow him to cut away the things of flesh in our lives so that we can move forth. To cut away the things that are holding us back, the idols in our lives, whether it's television, whether it's whatever, God knows, you know, because right now God will be speaking to you. You know that you need to lay down. He'll speak to you and he'll show you what it is. But he sat Elijah there for a while and he was there. And Elijah spent that time in preparation. And I believe that a lot of us have been through that flesh-eating time where it's been cut away, and it's been painful. It's discipline for a while, and the word says that discipline is painful. But guess what? We reap so many fruit from it later on. We just have to trust God. The third thing is humility. It's knowing that it's God's power and not us. There's no way that I can stand up and preach. There's no way that I can stand and pray for people on my own. It won't happen. It only happens through the power of God and knowing that he is the ultimate source in my life and in your lives. In verse 9, he told Elijah, he says, go at once to Zarephath. He told him to go there, and he goes, there'll be a widow there that will supply you with food. Zarephath actually means refining. After the flesh was cut away, he took him to a place of refining. He wants to refine us like gold. Going through the fire is also hot, you know? But look what happens. Then after God burns away the dross, the fire of God rises up. The passion of God comes forth to do the things that he's called us to do in our lives. God took him to Zarephath to be refined. And God wants you to visit that place also, to have a refining fire in your lives so that you can move forth. The fourth thing for resuscitation is life and anointing mixed with faith. If you look at verse 16, it says, for the jar of flour was not used up. The flour is the bread of life. And then it says, and the jug of oil did not run dry. The jug of oil is the anointing of the Spirit. Didn't run dry, didn't run out. The life, the bread of life didn't run out, and the oil didn't run out. And he says, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. And that's the faith, the word of the Lord spoken forth. So here it is, like Vaughn's been preaching. You mix the life, the bread of life, and the anointing. You mix it with faith, and look what happens. Look what happens. Get ready in your lives, because we've had enough teaching on faith that it's time to step out in it. It's time to move forth, knowing that God doesn't want us flatlining anymore. He wants us to move forth and do the things that he's called us to do. Number 5 is to go to the upper room. God wants us to go to a higher place of revelation. get yourselves alone with the Lord. By going to the higher places, it's just seeking his face. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to drive to a mountaintop and sit there and wait. You can do it in your own bedroom, in your backyard. You know, go for a drive by a lake, whatever. It's just trusting the Lord, getting alone with him, going to that upper place. One of the prisons we go to, we go upstairs. We call it the upper room. And it's funny, but I believe with those men that we're going to see revival in that place. God's saying to get to a higher place. When Elijah, with the food, he told the woman to mix that oil and that bread. And it didn't run out. It didn't run out. And they had enough to eat. But then what happened? Her son dies. You know, and she's like, I thought you were a man of God. Why did my son die? And she couldn't believe it. Here, you know, she did everything she was told, but there was still a tragedy in her life. And Elijah then said, give me your son. And he took him from her arms and carried him to the upper room. He went up to a place to get revelation from God because he knew that he couldn't do it, but he had to get up away from the woman because he knew that the mother was wavering in her faith. What happened, man of God? I don't understand. But sometimes you need to get away and you need to surround yourself with either people that have faith or get along with God and know that he will give you the faith to move on. He took him to the upper room so that he could hear a revelation from God. He wanted to hear what to do. Number 6 is to embrace the cross. Know the power of the resurrection. In verse 21, he said, then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times. Well, he had laid him down. Well, he stretched himself out 3 times. He embraced the cross. Here, he didn't even really know about Jesus Christ, but he embraced the resurrection. He embraced what he knew, what God was doing, because he stretched over this boy with his life that God had put in him, and the life flowed through into this boy, and this boy came back to life. And the last thing is prayer and proclamation. He said, he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. It wasn't really a begging. He said one sentence, Lord, let the life return to this boy. It was funny. It was almost like a prayer and a prophecy, a prayer and a proclamation. Lord, let life return to this boy. And it came to pass. Life came back to that boy. It was prayer. It was faithfulness. It was getting into the upper room. It was trusting God, knowing that God didn't bring him there for no reason except for to show God's power. Elijah brought this boy to the woman, and in verse 24, she said, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth. That says it all. She saw with her eyes that he was a man of God. It came from the word of truth that came from his mouth. This is a man that didn't know Jesus, but knew the truth of God. How much more do we have with Jesus Christ? We have been given so many gifts. He's given us his armor. He's given us so many tools so that we can better ourselves with God, so that we can move forth and become a warrior for God. I was reading something this morning, actually, in a book, and it was calling people to rise up as warriors in this time, to not just sit and wait for things to happen, but it's time to be on the offensive for God. Because so many times we sit and we take hits, but God is saying that he protects us. He's given us the armor. He's given us, it says in the word, that he's our rear guard. He's there to protect us. He wants today to move upon your lives and say, yes, I've given you a heart of flesh so that you will be caring and compassionate and loving, but at the same time, powerful and passionate and have zeal for the Lord, to have a fire to move forth, to trust him in all things in your life, to not look at things with your eyes, but to look with faith, knowing what God can do in your lives. You know, if something happens and you go home to the Lord, think about the place that you're in. You know what? It's a win-win situation when you're with God, trusting him. It's trusting Him with our lives, trusting Him with our families and our finances, trusting Him in every area, knowing that He's going to move. But we need to mix that faith with action. We need to mix it with the bread of life and with oil. The Holy Spirit is hovering over the Hudson Valley. He wants to remove the cap of complacency, apathy, and pessimism. And instead, He wants to zap us with passion and power, love for each other. You know, I work in a church, a little church, that's non-spirit-filled. I work in the office. And the people bicker and they complain. And I'm just like, I pray for them every time I go there. Lord, just let them see Your Holy Spirit. Let them see Your love. Let them see how much You can do for them and that the bickering has to stop. I know that as a church, I've not seen this in this place for the most part. And it's like, God is pleased with that. God is pleased that we're a church that wants to get on with Him. And He's saying today that He wants to just give us that extra boost with CPR, that right now that He is pressing on your heart. He is breathing new life into you this day, and He's resuscitating you to move you forth so that you will do the purposes called upon in your life. And like I said earlier, you have a voice. You're to use the voice that God has given you. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I would just like to pray as a whole for you today. If you feel like you need just an extra zap from the Lord, if you've been struggling with a sickness in your body or you desire to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, I have seen healings in my life. I've been praying, and in our prayer group, we pray that we will see more healings in this place, that we will go into hospitals and see people set free. But God is calling us to come together as a body so that we can kind of feed off of each other's faith. If you're weak in an area, come to me, come to other people, and we'll pray together, believing. You know, sometimes we have this thing where we're just not quite sure. I don't know if I've shared this story before. It's short. A friend of mine, at work where I used to work, had burned her hand on a teapot really bad. And the pain was so bad, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, man, I should pray for her, but it's a burn, you know, and I didn't think anything, you know. I thought she's just going to have to put butter on it or cold water, and, you know, it'll get better. And then, so I said to her, I said, you know, I think I'm supposed to pray for you, but I don't have the faith for it. And she goes, well, I was going to ask you to pray, but I don't have the faith for it either. So we got together, and we prayed for our unbelief. We prayed that our lack of faith would go, our unbelief would go, and that God would do a miracle there. And we prayed, didn't feel anything, because sometimes you don't feel it. Sometimes you don't feel it. She went home, and she told me she went home. She called me later. She goes, I was in such pain. I got a bucket of cold water, laid on the couch, put my hand in the bucket, and fell asleep. Woke up 20 minutes later, took her hand out, looked at it, didn't hurt. The burn was gone. There was no redness. It was fine. She went out and was putzing in her garden later on, and she had to call me and then say, my hand is healed. So God is saying, even if you think you don't have the faith, confess it to Him, pray for your unbelief, and go forth. Don't let the enemy stop you from being the voice that He's called you to be. So if today you would like a touch to move forward in faith, to let God touch you with His CPR, just stand to your feet right now. And we're going to pray for you that God is going to move in your lives. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Lord God, I thank You for these people here in this vineyard, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that sometimes foxes try to come in vineyards, but greater is You who is in us than he who is in the world. I thank You for each person who's standing on their feet right now, that they desire CPR from You right now. And Lord, I would ask that You would touch hearts in this place right now, that hearts would turn to hearts of compassion and love, passion and fire for You in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord God, that You are breathing upon them right now, that the winds would blow in this place, Lord God, that You would breathe from the north, the south, the east, and the west upon these people, and that they would receive new revelation from You this day, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that they would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, if there's any plugged ears, I would ask right now that you would just unplug the ears and that they would hear what the Spirit is saying, Lord God. And I pray for anyone who's struggling with physical problems right now. We just pray for colds to be healed right now in Jesus' name. We pray for heart conditions to be healed in the name of Jesus. I pray for someone who's suffering with problems and pains in their feet right now that they would be healed in Jesus' name. Also, I'm sensing knees that, Lord, you would just pray for touched knees that are in pain right now. And we just believe by the blood of Jesus, by the stripes shed at Calvary, that we are healed in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I would ask that you would just pour forth your mantles, your mantle of Elijah upon the people this day, your mantle of Deborah's, that women would rise forth and not be afraid to go into the battle, Lord God. I would pray for the Esthers in this room who are rising up this day to serve the King mightily, Lord God. I pray for the Davids and the minstrels in this place, Lord God, that they would continue to go before the army powerful and to go forth with their might, that a new sound is coming forth from the heavenlies upon our music in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God. Just move in our hearts this day. Touch our lives and make us a body that's not afraid to pray, that has a passion to pray, a fire to pray, a desire to see people healed and set free, and that we would see with our eyes the multitudes are in the valley of decision, and that today our chains would be off and we would go forth to the things that you've called us to do in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just breathe upon these people right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. I stand believing. We pray for any unbelief in Jesus' name. I pray that the Vineyard Church would be known for their fire and their passion for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.